call is now being recorded.
All right. So we got some people on the phone here. One of them is, I think, anonymous. Steve, right?
Guess that. Just call me Guest X.
Okay. And then we got Sandy and Harrison and is it Valentine?
No, he's indisposed. He's currently
so, what? Tell me about your Facebook use. Tell me about it.
About our Facebook experiences?
Yeah, and try to talk into the phone. So, I mean, if I can.
Who would like to start? Facebook experiences or our thoughts about Facebook?
Yeah, like how you use Facebook. Tell me how you use Facebook.
Sandy, how have you used Facebook?
Or how do you?
I've used Facebook to do group projects at school. I think it's easier than texting anybody. And most people are on Facebook more often than they are on their, like, emails or anything else. So that's how I use it.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I never thought of that. So,
yeah.
So the people are sort of always on Facebook, are they, or checking all the time?
Yeah, you could actually send bigger files there than you can in attachment. Oh, it's easier for me to send them there than in attachments of email.
You can send documents? Like, yeah.
Nick,
yes.
I could let conversation go on and evolve organically, or I could get straight to where I'm at. This is Guest X speaking. I'm on the very opposite end of whatever continuum you would call this. I literally don't use Facebook, and I never have.
Wow. Why?
Aren't I cool? I saw the trend coming, and I, well, you know, it's a good question. And part of it is, from the beginning, I felt shy at the idea of putting myself, whatever subset of myself, out there for all, literally the whole world, to see. And it just, I thought, this doesn't really, I'm not quite comfortable with this. Now, everyone I know seems to be comfortable with it. I have family members who are all over it, and it seems like it's something that, it's a tool like anything else, and you can use it to your advantage. But, I mean, one of the things we've learned is that big data and these giant companies, it's all about better knowing you and thus being better able to market to you. And make no mistake, this is not just like it's going up there for the good of your socializing. It's these gigantic, super profitable, when not much else is nowadays, companies are trading info and using info and making better, more targeted ads. And anyway, call me cynical, but I don't know. I mean, but I also realize that daily, people are using it to their advantage, supposedly, and it seems legitimate that they are. Anyway, back to Sandy.
I think Guest X is missing the point, because I have family all the way in Guatemala, and, you know, I can't pay calling cards all the time. So what my family does is we use Facebook to connect.
Uh-huh. So take that, Guest X. You know, that's a good point. And this won't be the first time that I was the cynical guy who didn't necessarily get it. But I don't know. I just, well, you can connect with family by email, right?
It's not the same because you can now Skype is also connected to Facebook, so you can see them.
And I just heard today a story about this kind of dating type website that people really think is the next better thing. It's called something like Tinder. And
what is it called?
It's called, I think, something like Tinder, T-I-N-D-E-R or something. It's incorporated with Facebook, and they're talking about how women are comfortable with it, much more so than with other types of sites, because it links directly in. You can immediately see who else might know the person, and it's an example of iterative, you know, things taking and making use of things and the whole thing evolving. And so Facebook, I'm sure, is being made use of in all kinds of really great ways. But still, I'm not overly comfortable with this. I mean, putting myself online, maybe it says more about me. I guess you can always make it private. Mm-hmm. People have, you know, there's these different settings and all that. But something's a little funny. Something's a little to me about, I mean, why must everybody necessarily have a web presence? I mean, this internet thing came along. But what about those of us who just want to kind of keep a low profile and do what we want to do in the world, but not necessarily be online all the time? And the other thing is that I have felt like, well, if you enter that fray, you're going to have to constantly be updating it. And I got more than enough to worry about as it is. Sandy, back to you.
I don't really have anything to add to that. Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I have something to add to that. Okay, so my thing is, you know how they say if a tree falls and there's no one around to hear it? Does it really matter?
Can you say that again into the phone more?
So, tree falls and there's no one around to hear it. Does it really make a sound? So modern time has taken it as, if you don't post it on Facebook, does it really count or exist?
Or if you don't have a presence on Facebook, do you really exist? And I mean, that's what concerns me. We're kind of moving that way where if you don't get digital, you're going to get left behind. And I mean, emailing and stuff like that. But I don't know. I mean, I appreciate, in concept, I get it. You can post as much or as little about yourself as you want. You can do privacy settings. But something's a little funny to me about how it just got adopted by more and more and more and more people to the point where almost everyone but me and my good friend Harrison, perhaps, don't do Facebook. But I guess I want to live in a world where it's okay not to be on Facebook. I think.
Do you think it's not okay?
Well, I mean, not really, but it just seems that, no one has ever told me, like, in any extreme peer pressure way, dude, what are you doing? You're not on Facebook. But, well, I'm not sure I do. Sandy asked, don't you feel there's a party and you're not invited? And, you know, the only way in which I feel that is, today, when I listened to this interview about with one of these tech columnists about this new site called Tinder, and then there's a PhD student at UCLA who studies social media or something, and they're talking about this site, and I'm thinking to myself, have we reached a point where, especially in a city like LA, the only way you meet a romantic partner is online? Because it almost seems like that's the point we're reaching, and that's a little funny to me. Of course, it's not the only way, but when you,
well,
when you, we all drive around in these bubbles called cars, and we are on our phone all day, and we're kind of separating each other out, atomizing into our own little screen. I mean, when I'm on the bus sometimes, you look around, and it's like almost every single person is looking into their smartphone, and it's like,
well, before that, did people, I don't know. So do you feel like there's something better than Facebook? Do you feel like
I'm in the process of developing an app that's really going to just blow all these other ones away. No. Do I think there's something better than Facebook face-to-face? FaceTime, not the Apple version. Face-to-face contact. I don't know. I mean, it's virtual contact. And it's pretty cool. Although I've had people I know who say they just they don't really even bother with their Facebook anymore. It's like it ends up being this time sink where you just go end up browsing all these people's sites and their Facebook pages, and it doesn't translate into new relationships much, and I don't know, but maybe they're just not using it right. And I know there were ways like people post pictures of their kids to their partner or their wife and back and forth throughout the day, or I guess. Okay, Sandy might have some things to say here.
Okay.
Hi, this is Sandy.
Hi.
Well,
hi.
That Just X shouldn't be scared in the direction that society is moving towards, because it's technology and we're using it. And I think that if people were scared of telephones when they first came out, we wouldn't have all the things we have now. I think we should accept them, and I think we should embrace them and use them appropriately, and maybe not so much for, like, maybe posting every single minute of our days, but we should use it what it was meant to be used as. I don't think that it should be talked about like it's this big thing that's taking over. And even if it is, it's just like phones took over and cameras took over, and things are invented every day, and they're to better communication.
Actually, Sandy makes some very good points. I get concerned that I have a sort of a cynical orientation toward the world, where I can find reasons not to do things if I don't want to do them. To be honest, I don't think it really appealed to me. But I think there's a little bit of a fear aspect there, where I was like, I have to announce to the world where I am, and I'll be findable. And part of it is, this is a whole deeper level of dirty, perhaps. But so I grew up in a house that was sort of a de facto community center in some ways. I'm an identical twin. I went to a large public high school. We were sort of like this sort of curiosity, and I had, and you can marry that to this, or you can combine that with being somebody who's very sort of shy and demure and doesn't really have an easy time saying no. So it's like, it was often easier to just avoid than to have to negotiate with people and find a way to say no. And I was a good listener and everything, so people would bend my ear or look to me as a therapist-like friend or at times, and it's like I had to get away from that by hook or by crook, because even though I'm a engaging, good listener, I'm actually the guy who needs therapy. I'm the guy who's hurting. I'm the guy whose family, broke up, my parents separated and divorced and all this stuff, and lived in a neighborhood where there was real dangers and crime and this and that. So I feel like, if anything, what I've been trying to do is to clear a space for myself. It's easy to get near people if you want to physically. I mean, actually getting really near, that is finding someone with whom you can be romantic or intimate, that's a whole another challenge at a deeper level. But there's probably a very personal aspect of this all, why I haven't, taken advantage of this, what is commonly agreed to be a pretty amazing tool. But I also, I mean, what would be interesting to know is what percentage of the people out there aren't on Facebook, and who are they, and what are they like, and why aren't they on? Because I do feel like it should be okay to not be on. I mean, unless they start like delivering government programs through Facebook or you know, something where you need in order to be registered or this or that, you need to be on. That'd be one thing. But I mean, it feels like it's an option, and so you need
well,
an option.
That's interesting.
In being an optional thing, that implies that you should be able to opt not to do it. Anyway, I've been talking a lot.
Well, as of now, you're clearly able to opt not to do it. But every day, it seems there are more apps that hook into Facebook, like Sandy mentioned Skype.
Yeah.
And what if your power bill, your utilities started having to be paid through Facebook and more things and more things? What if it really became your citizen address? I mean, I guess that could happen.
I think that it already is, because it doesn't just link into that. Like, if you go shop, I do a lot of shopping online, and if you just autofill with your Facebook, it always asks to connect all your information from Facebook. So everything is already there. It's become like your new address book, because all your friends are there, and it just makes everything easier. Like, you don't have to go, well, you could always send a mass text, but things like shopping, like I said, it'll take your information straight from there, and everything connects to Facebook now. So it makes things, I think for me, personally, it makes things easier, but I'm also scared of how trusting I am, maybe, and maybe that comes with age. I seem to be, like, younger, and it's more towards younger people, or it's too trusting. I don't know, but that'll probably come back and bite me, because some people do get hacked through Facebook, so maybe your fear is not too bad, you know?
Yeah,
Go
ahead, Nick.
Well, I was going to say, when you have a monoculture in agriculture, you have a crop, you know, you have like miles and miles of just one type of grain. If something finds out how to, it's like a bug finds out how to attack that particular crop, the whole thing gets wiped out.
Right. When I first got Gmail, I remember thinking, this is amazing and stuff, and it's totally free, and they give you this very generous amount of storage and stuff. And others had been using it for a long time before I decided to try it. And, you know, the obvious question is like, well, what's the catch? Is it totally free? Like, is it all? Now, we learn later that Google is a massive collector of data, and they advertise and they sell ads and all this. So it's not like you're getting something for nothing. And I do get concerned, actually, that we're too trusting. And we've seen with the NSA debate or the revelations that the National Security Administration is doing all this spying on, and they basically they collect everything. And it's very interesting because we used to, the Soviet Union did that stuff, but we're a free and open society and stuff, but we're literally building these centers that are supposed to be able to capture everything digital that anybody does. And, you know, you could say, I got nothing to worry about. I'm a clean living guy. I don't break any laws. But put it this way, if ever everything got into the wrong hands, or someone like Cruz from Texas became president or something, boy, the power, I mean, in terms of knowing who goes where, when, and who else they talk to and where they go, where, when. Anyway, I may be importing into this conversation just heavy-duty other things, but it's interesting to me how trusting everybody is with all this digital stuff. I sort of, from the start, was just, I didn't know exactly what it would end up that these companies do with the data, but I just thought, it's rare that you get something for nothing. And, but hey, this Gmail thing works pretty good for me. I'll try it. And anyway, just some thoughts.
Well, we did have television with its advertising. Well, we used to get free television, you know, free TV shows and like.
But there was a thing called the Fairness Doctrine, where you literally, if you were owner or whatever, you had to present a certain amount of news. I forget exactly what the Fairness Doctrine is, but with the privilege of owning a powerful broadcast medium, you had certain responsibilities. And, but I wish I knew more about that. But now it's a million cable channels and everything else, and you don't have to, and Facebook.
So, yeah, I mean, that brings up, yeah.
I'm looking at Sandy's face. She's scrolling through her Facebook account on her iPhone. And she says she can catch up with 10 friends in 5 seconds. I'll be honest with you. What scares me is that, yeah, the idea of getting left behind. I mean, there are some people who are so good with all this digital stuff, while I'm this guy who likes to linger on things, and I like to write something and craft it and polish it and spend time reworking something. And I guess you can slip in that, but this just moving at the speed of e-business, as one of those ads used to say, I don't know if I'm that guy. I need some downtime, and but anyway, I'm sure you can find ways. But you know, like just today I was seeing online, there's this new thing for managing your email inbox called Caper, and it's supposed to incorporate this new methodology, but they're always trying to find a way now to help people manage their inbox, because I mean, this is, you tell me if I'm too far off topic, but I mean, it's like people are getting to the point where they're just too far behind in responding to all their friends or some of their friends on email, and that they have to kind of almost declare email bankruptcy. And just, I actually heard a woman interviewed. She was the founder of the MIT Media Lab, who was saying that there is this thing that people do. They have to sort of start all over. They send a mass email which says, I'm too far behind, we just got to restart this or something. But I have people that I care about that have moved from LA recently and have sent me heartfelt long emails since then asking about me and telling me about them. And they're on hold because I'm caught up doing what I'm doing, and it also feels like, I guess that's why I need things. But it sort of feels...
Wait, I'm not sure. Wait, what do you mean when you say that they have to start all over? What happened that required them to start all over?
Well, I mean, just getting behind, getting backed up on emails and not keeping up with all those that are coming in that require a thoughtful response or something. And
what does that mean, though? Do we have to start over?
Well, I actually don't
start
know.
Start what?
I don't know exactly what it means, but what I did once hear, probably within the year, was...
Start a new email account?
No, but you do this thing which was called declaring email bankruptcy, I think, and... It was this thing which was a method of kind of getting out from under all these overdue for a response emails. And I can actually point you, I can probably find the link and get you that interview. But it was literally the woman who is this digital maid person who started the MIT Media Lab or some of it. She was acknowledging that with all this instantaneous communication, even the best of us digitally get so far behind that we have to literally do the equivalent of declaring bankruptcy. And that was, and it, what was interesting is that it seemed like it's this thing that people actually do, where they, I said, kind of send out a mass email and saying, you know, let's start over. I don't know if that's the form it takes.
I think that you kind of delete all the ones you have, since you have so many, because right now I have 800 messages and emails. So I think you delete everything and you start over, as in, okay, let's start everything over, new emails, I guess, or new competition, because we're too late to ask her anything. Because I remember Kristen telling me that he got a message from someone telling him about something that happened a month ago, and he's just responding just now. So it's not relevant.
And I think the secret is, don't tell anyone. That's happening to every single person out there. And that's one of the consequences of this. I feel like if we're not careful, we're going to, with all these new apps and all these new online this, that, and the others, we're going to strip away all the most essential communications. I mean, it's to the point now where everyone can get a hold of you so easily and so quickly. I mean, that if they're really good with Facebook and digital communication and all that stuff, they're moving at that speed, but you're not, you might lose them as a friend or something, because you'll offend them because it's been a month since you got back to them, even though they thought you cared about them. I mean, I have two people in my life who I felt connected with more than most people I do connect with. And they moved away, and they sent me communication emails, which they updated me on how their new situation was and asked me how things were going. And, you know, they knew my world, so I felt like to give them a proper response is going to take some thoughtfulness, or it should, because that's the way we would relate, was very kind of on a deep level usually. But it's like I can't get around to making the time to craft. I mean, I've made a few attempts, but, and part of that is me and how I write and our relationship. And also our relationship moved into a different kind of category. Anyway, so I can't pawn that all off on email, but you know, ask anyone and they've got 1,000 emails in their inbox or whatever it is. And much of it's spam, and some of them, I mean, if you're getting paid well, that is, you're at work and it's a good job and everything, and so I think you know you have to respond to those emails. But when it's all flooding in and there's like no immediate payback to responding to this one over that one, you kind of can put it off. And what's a little scary is that, again, it might strip away slowly but surely all but the most essential communication between humans, or, you know, when you see that ad that seems like a deal you don't want to pass up, you know, you spend time doing that online. But I don't know. I mean, I do have a tendency to be cynical and stuff, and do the societal analysis, you know, from, you know, the 35,000 feet view. I could get
Sandy, did Sandy have something to say?
Let's see. Sandy, any thoughts? She says, not really, unless you have any more questions for her.
Well, I guess Sandy will continue to use it and you will continue not to.
That's probably the case. You know, I mean, and now I'm at this point where I feel like, where do I begin? I'm going to go on there and look like such a...
I've had Facebook since 2009, or 2008. And I've only had, like, 20 friends. So you don't have to have all the strangers on there, right? And you can keep that close to relationship. And even when you do group projects, you can always just do something that you don't know and you don't feel close to.
What'd she say?
Oh, I said that because he's worried about this, like, intimate relationships or friendships that you have, and I told him that I've had Facebook since 2008, I think, or 2009 now, and I only have 20 friends, so I do keep something. I think it's relationships or friendships that are close to me. I don't really make it out like public and anything. It's private, and I think you could still, just like you drive responsibly and you drink responsibly, you can Facebook responsibly. You don't have to involve everyone or post things that you don't want to post. So you just have to manage your time, I guess, on Facebook. Those are my thoughts.
That's it. So you only have 20 friends, and what have people asked you to be friends, and you...
If they friend me and I don't feel like I'm that close to them and I don't want them to know my business, then I feel like I don't need to add anybody that I don't know. There's sometimes people that friend you on Facebook and they don't even, I've never met them, I don't know them, they're from some other place, and it's like, no, I don't know you, I'm not going to accept your request. Like, it's just, well, that's just the way I...
Well, that's interesting. So you can put stuff up on there that's kind of personal, and, you know, whereas I have hundreds of friends, everything I put up there I have to really be kind of, you know, I can't say anything too personal.
Yeah. There's people that get fired because they have, like, coworkers and they might be connected to their boss somehow. Like, I have my dad on there, and I have close friends, and I only share things that I would want those people to know.
Right. So, well, now I'm thinking, yeah. I kind of wish I only had 20 people on there. But I have people from my, like, sixth grade on there, a lot of them.
I've only had people from sixth grade that I stayed in touch with. If I haven't stayed in touch with them, well, I've never had somebody request me that I haven't stayed in touch with. Or maybe when I'm older, and then they go, oh, that's Sammy, and they probably request me. And maybe I would, I don't know. But as of now, I don't accept strangers or anybody I'm not close to.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it becomes like you're, and I'm not interested either. I want to see, I really do use Facebook for, like, say, if I want to know how it's doing, and you see them, and it's like, oh, they're doing this, and they have pictures, and it's nice. Like, you know how you slice the scrapbook, or you show family pictures or something when you go on vacation, and you can share those with people that you want to share them with. I don't think that you need to share them with 100 strangers.
Right. That makes sense. Well, you sound like a very responsible Facebooker.
Yeah.
I think you're a model Facebook citizen.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
You could be my Facebook advisor. But
yeah, you're in the right hands.
I was struck, as Sandy was talking just now, by how just comfortable in her little skin she is. You know, she knows the limits and who should and who shouldn't and what. And so it just, she's not in any way intimidated by the technology, and she has clear ideas of how to use it. And like on a cognitive level, I know that most any tool can be used responsibly, just like it could maybe be misused. I mean, it's an interesting question. I found myself also thinking, as Sandy was talking, about, you know, the question like, who know, each of us, who do we know who we think or we know is not on Facebook? Yeah, well, and I thought to myself, are there people we know in common who we could guess might not be? Like, I thought we know this neighbor whose initials are RF.
Huh? Who?
There's a neighbor. He's in his, I'd say, 50s. Whose first name starts with an R. His second name starts with a F. He's into gardening and yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's too old. He can't email me, so I forgive him for not being on Facebook.
Facebooker I know. The biggest Facebooker I know is my mom. And so it doesn't really make sense.
To like being scared of technology. Raul is scared of technology because he's living in the past. It's really about evolving. Like, you have to get used to things.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Different, too. I mean, obviously. But, like, my mother's a huge, like, a bookworm, a lover of reading and just information. She just pours over the newspaper and she has an iPad, and all day long she's checking in on different things. I'm not the biggest reader. I'm pretty visual. And I don't know. Maybe there's these personality-specific aspects of those who
You remind me of that Adam Ant song, but for, like,
you don't want
Facebook, you don't read. What do you do? You don't Facebook, you don't read. What do you do? Must be subtle in you and those follow. Must make something in it.
Okay, I must say, I don't know the song, but I enjoy hearing this thing.
Thanks.
Adamant, yes.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, I don't think you're a freak just because you don't use Facebook or, you know. Do you feel like a, yeah,
sure. I think in a way, hold on, I think I have a good point. I think he likes feeling like he's different because, you know, he is a twin. So he likes being different and he wants to be against what other people think is cool.
Is that right?
I actually thought that might be going in a different direction, which is more like he likes to think he's different in the sense of being aloof or better than. Sandy wouldn't have said such a thing. But I actually get concerned that there is this part of me that I come by honestly in the sense of having a parent who's like this, not my mother, but my father, who he's an academic and he judges things from afar, you know, without necessarily knowing what he's talking about. And I don't want to be that guy who does that. My father is not, he's a great guy and he doesn't only do that, what his profession was. And sociology was his thing, which is taking a look at society and all, trying to observe and critique and all that stuff. But I think there is a part of me which it remains aloof or something, or just, I mean, I don't think I'm fundamentally that way, but that's where I imagine that Sandy's comment might have been going, not because she thinks of me that way, but that was the person that came to my mind. But I mean, being a twin, I'm not sure, you know, it'd be interesting to know if twins have a, on average, same level of Facebook involvement or not. One thing I thought of as she was saying that is that my twin brother, I'm pretty sure, is not on Facebook. So.
Do you think that there's clubs for people who don't use Facebook?
You know, if there aren't, there really should be some support groups because these people are really, something's up with them, is wrong. They're hurting. No.
But how will they find each other?
Right.
I have a thought.
Yes.
I have a thought.
Yes.
Yes. I think that this has nothing to do with what you guys were talking about, actually. But it just came to that Facebook is such a big hit because everyone is obsessing over labels and brands. And I think it's become the new way to brag and kind of like a high school in like popularity contest kind of thing.
It's all coming back to me. Actually, I had a conversation with a person I know who's very digitally involved and stuff. And we were talking about Facebook, come to think of it, and because we hosted a guy who was from Iraq who stayed here, and he took just endless pictures, right, of his visit to Los Angeles while he was studying here. And he had a nice iPhone and everything. But it seemed to me that the picture taking was always, you know, not so much about just like, ooh, get a picture of that cool thing. It was like, get a picture of me to that cool thing. And, you know, and he talked about it being a really big Facebook stuff. And I had a conversation with my brother, and he was saying that, yeah, what it really seems like Facebook has become more than anything else is just this way to sort of like boost yourself up, your image in the eyes of others, you know, whether actual or beyond actual, you know. And so that, I mean, if that's what it's all about, no thanks.
I had a thought when you said that. Yes, that's true. But before we had this outlet, we had already been infected with this cult of celebrity where, you know, we all wanted to be a celebrity. And we had no outlet. So, I mean, maybe this is an outlet for something that just doesn't make sense without an outlet. Like, we all want to be glamorous, but we have no way of doing it unless we use Facebook. And maybe you don't have any need to be glamorous.
Yeah, maybe place to play, is what you're saying, or play out our fantasies in that way. You know what's funny is I don't think I've ever wanted to be a celebrity. In fact, from a very young age, I've always thought, these movie stars, I mean, I don't want to be some guy who can't actually leave the house, can't go to some restaurant without being mobbed, can't. It seems to me that it might crush one's ego. And yes, there are places like New York and L.A. where you get bothered less than somewhere else just because it's not too uncommon to sometimes see celebrities. But it does seem to me like, being a celebrity, I mean, except for when you're just an amazing artist and you're so into the craft and everything and all that, I appreciate good actors, but that I'm not sure that translates to a life that's better than a life
without celebrity. Well, you're thinking about the realities of being an actual celebrity. But, I mean, that doesn't apply to Facebook celebrities. I mean, have you ever wanted to be a photographer or an author or, you know, somebody who gives speeches? Because you can be all of those things to a group of your friends on Facebook.
Yeah. I have thought about something more along the lines of being an author or somewhere where occasionally, yes, you speak before crowds about something, but actually I think it scares me, the big celebrity type stuff, or I don't know, I guess there's people all at every different level managing it very well, and you know, it'd be interesting, we have a mayor now who is at the cutting edge of technology and claims to be, wants to be, you know, prides himself on that. You know, talk that being a hallmark of his administration and stuff. He's in his 40s, 42 years old, and so.
Are you trying to keep our mayor anonymous? Is that what you're trying to do right now?
No.
Because it seems like you're avoiding saying his name.
His name when I see him having accomplished some stuff. No, Mayor Garcetti. I actually really, really like him. It's too good to be true, from my perspective, in terms of just doing all the right things, has all the right sensibilities. But what's interesting is he's one of these guys he's tweeting, whatever that is. Now, you know, I kind of know about tweeting, although I haven't tweeted. I did help, by retweeting for them, for their business and stuff. But anyway, he's all over, and that impresses me. And he seems to be totally guy with integrity, and not just about whatever the negative sides of any of that stuff is. I mean, although self promotion is a big part of politics, but he seems pretty darn humble and all that. Anyway, I'll give it back to Sandy if she has thoughts.
Hello.
Sandy? Hello?
Yes.
Did you have any more thoughts?
I think that maybe Guest X shouldn't worry so much because maybe Facebook is just a phase. And because MySpace was a phase, and now you have Vine and you have Instagram, so he can be scared of all those other social network.
Is Facebook any scarier than other things like that?
No, I recently made a what is it called? Where you post pictures?
Instagram.
And Instagram is scary. That thing, like,
what?
My pictures. Into my phone pictures, and it just uploaded all my my private pictures up there and was like, okay, we want access to this and that. And that, I don't know, that freaked me out because it went actually into the phone, like the app connected to my, I guess, my pictures. So that freaked me out, and I don't know how to use it yet, but so I kind of feel like you have to learn how to manage all the other things that connect to Facebook. I don't know the other things.
I think that there are people whose job it is to help you manage your privacy, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, I mean, I don't know who would need that, but the average person wouldn't do that.
Well, yeah, but those other, like, Vine and everything else, I don't think there's, I think maybe they're keeping up with Facebook, but Facebook seems to be the main social network still. And Twitter. Twitter's testing on. I don't have a Twitter.
Yeah, I don't use Twitter.
Yeah, I feel like Twitter, if you, I don't know who would think, I don't think I have anything important to say. So, and then all this idea, I was looking at this about, so, like, you have to have less, you have to follow less people, and you have to have more followers. That just feels like a popularity contest to me. Like, you have to have more followers than you do followers.
Wait, what does that mean, you have to have more followers?
Like, this is something that I was told. I didn't know that this was a thing, but apparently, like, if you're cool, if you have more people following you than you actually following other people, because you're, I guess that's how it works. I guess X wants to chime in.
Yeah, what does X have to say?
Sandy's much more valued probably in this ad than I do. It reminds me. For a period of time, I helped a consultant and in a way that was kind of a mentoring way where I learned from him and in exchange. I mean, I volunteered in exchange. I got advice and professional sort of development stuff. But one of the things I did for him for a while was to go through his daily tweets on the days that I was, but it was his professional tweeting that he was doing. And he had a certain number of people he followed, and there were people who would follow him. And there was, he understood it, the kind of, he had a handle on how to manage the whole thing. Like, there was this balance you tried to strike where there was like, yeah, you had roughly equivalent numbers of people that you were following and that were following you, but it was more that were following you or something. And it was just like, after a point, that's a little goofy.
It's like this high school
thing. Yeah, man. And the thing is, like, it's funny because you listen to even public radio, and they say, like, on Facebook and blah, 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 and something, and follow us on Twitter. And it's like, it's just the fact that they're taking up, even if it's just seconds, but to sort of beg you to follow them, it's a little goofy to me. And, you know, this is, I was telling my mother this. There was this one promotional thing they were doing where it was maybe during Fun Drive or something, but it was like us on Facebook. For each like, we donate 10 meals to hungry families in Southern California. And I was thinking to myself, I'm all for getting creative with the ways you do your fundraising, all that. But the question becomes, okay, if I don't like you by means of a few keystrokes, does that mean that same 10 meals is not going to go to? I mean, are you kidding me? And, I mean, it's just like, we've lost all perspective if we're just like begging the population to give us likes, because we know that the relative number of likes that NPR.org or KPCC.org has compared to all the other ones out there who are trying to do the same thing. I don't know. Or maybe it's just competition. Maybe it's just the next level of, you know, sort of competing for to survive in the marketplace. But it just, I don't know. It gets a little funny to me.
Sandy, you want to weigh in on?
Do you want to weigh in for a radio interview on your thoughts on Facebook?
Okay.
Okay. Nick, who used to live over here. Okay. Well, he's a third, fourth person who could have weighed in. Said that when offered the opportunity, said no, thanks, more or less, and that he says he doesn't like Facebook.
Who was that?
That was someone you've met who lives across from where you used to live.
Okay.
I want to keep people anonymous until I get their permission.
You're like the anti-Facebook.
I'm like the what?
You're like the opposite of Facebook. You're like the... You want everybody to stay around.
That's a very good point, Nick, and that's another deeper possible aspect of that that's particular to me, but I there's this part of me which is very protective of people's privacy, and there's some family origins to that, I think. And I think there's a sort of covering for other people to think. Sandy wants to know what Nick thinks of Facebook.
Well, I'm Nick, and I think that... Well, I mean, you know, I'm doing this series of interviews is really helping me to figure that out.
Oh, can you hear me well?
Really?
Yeah, my voice, I wasn't on the microphone. I'm figuring it out, you know, because people bring up privacy concerns all the time, and that's a big one. But then I keep hearing all these ways in which it's really useful to people. You know, people stay in touch from what I hear a lot, you know, and I stay in touch with people. So, you know, I think a lot of the ways in which Facebook could be dangerous haven't happened to me or anyone that I know yet. It's all just sort of like a science fiction future.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't go as far as saying I hate Facebook. I don't completely hate it. I just dislike some way of people's use of it, but I don't hate it. That's like, I hate when people blame McDonald's for making them fat. It's like, no, McDonald's is not making you fat. I know that it's very persuasive with its ads and all, you know, all the stuff, and it's toy for kids, but it's all in the way you do things. I don't think that you should blame things for what.
Well, I don't want to give up hating McDonald's. I need to hate McDonald's.
Don't, because I mean, yeah, they're evil, but it's like, okay, then don't go there. Don't blame it for what it does. Just don't go there.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, I mean, really, these are things that people have decided they want to support with their dollars. So if you're blaming the things, then you're really having to deal with people's what they want. You know, you don't like what people want, I guess, or I don't like what people want. And people want Facebook, and I want Facebook. I use Facebook all the time. But, you know, huh?
I said I like Facebook.
Do you think that Facebook can actually get in the way of real relationships?
I feel like my Facebook friends are my friends that I, well, it's going to sound mean, but okay, so I have my real friends that I see every day and I talk to and, you know, or I text them. And then I have my Facebook friends who I really don't, I wouldn't say not care, but I mean, I kind of just don't really care. Yeah, they're just Facebook friends. I don't see them ever, and they're just, Facebook is a way that I can be like, oh, I'm still a good friend, but I can wish you a happy birthday with a reminder from Facebook, but I don't care enough to know your birthday.
So maybe Facebook is a way of being, you know, allowing people to be inauthentic to each other.
Yes. Well, that's what girls do anyway. So that's my excuse. I
what
feel like...
interesting to me, as Sandy says this, is that she's sort of saying that there's two
parallels. Can you speak into the phone?
What's interesting to me about what Sandy is saying now is that there's almost like two parallel tracks going on. There's people who she cares a lot about and she'll text them, take the time to text them and spend time with them. It'll be, I guess, at some. And then there's people who, with whom she only really has a Facebook relationship.
I'll like their status or I'll like their pictures, but I don't really care much about what they do. I don't really care about what they do every day.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we all have friendships of different levels and like acquaintances that they're not really so much of a deep friend, but
you want to be friendly. You don't want to be that person like that. Outcast or something.
You know, I think part of it is for me that it's challenging for me, digitally at least, to do the equivalent of small talk. Like, I'm pretty good at that in person, I think. But I've always been in these, growing up and everything, like my mother would host fundraisers at our house for political candidates and there would always be, there'd be parties happening, and I got good at greeting, you know, meeting and greeting and being able to deal with different kinds of people and or lots of different kinds of people and keeping stuff not inauthentic, but pretty super at a superficial level. Actually, it's kind of engaging in a real way, but just with people that you know you're not likely to see again. And, but I guess I don't, I have found that digitally, online or with email, it's hard to do the equivalent of small, that kind of, I don't know if small talk's the word, but,
Well, Sandy seems to have no problem with small talk on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, also you want to keep in touch with people because you never know, like you might want to invite them somewhere or... you might want to get together someday. I don't know. It's
so
like that
are we,
shirt you don't want to throw away because you might.
Well,
need
I was
it.
Just gonna. I was just gonna say, are we like hoarders of friends now? We're like we have all these friends we don't need.
It might be a friend that you might need in the future, but you just there. So Facebook is kind of like a storage.
It's like friend storage.
Yeah.
Friend storage. 15 gigabytes of or whatever they give you for free. No. Let me ask you this though, you guys. Do you think, I mean, it may be that we're peeling away layers and realizing things that we didn't really think about, even though we use Facebook a lot, or you guys, but do you guys think that the other people with whom you're carrying on a Facebook relationship also realize that it's this friend storage thing where, I mean, or are they have higher expectations for it, or is it something that we sort of, there's this silent, complicit thing that everybody knows that this is this second level of friendship, you know?
It's the what of friendship?
It's kind of a secondary level of friendship.
Like, well, you think some people, yeah.
I was just saying, at kind of Sandy's realizing something. And one of the things is that this idea you came up with, that so like friend storage, like that you might want these friends in the future or have a need, so you keep them. Now, I wondered as she was saying that, do those people look at the French, the relationship, the Facebook relationship, that same way that Sandy does? That it's, we both know here that this is not really close relationship. This is us maintaining contact, just in case. What do you think about that, Nick?
Well, I don't know if anybody's really deluded about that. I don't know why we would think that they don't know. Or they think, like, oh, these are... Well, maybe some people do. I mean, I'm sure it's everybody's different in how seriously they take their... But if you take your friend, your Facebook friends to be your real friends, then what does that say?
That's a good question. And, you know, everyone's different. And, like, it may be that...
That's what
you don't... Yeah. I find myself asking Nick, like, how do you view your Facebook life? I mean, I'm imagining that some of the people that I know, that you care about, you probably interact with them on Facebook, and they seem to be really genuine, cool, good, earnest, and all the, you know, good people. And so I would doubt it's hard for me to picture that your Facebook relationships are at that secondary level, at least not all of them, right? I mean, I don't want to name names, but I think of people who I imagine you communicate with in a authentic way, where it's not just a friend storage thing. Or is it?
In a way, often it is friend storage, but, I mean, there's some people that I'm constantly, my girlfriend, I will send funny things to, like memes and funny, you know, cat videos, you know, and even though they're just cat videos, what?
They tag you personally. They don't just, like, post it up, so they reach out. You know the people that reach out, or, like, they take that extra, like, they message you something. They don't just post it as, like, a news feed. They kind of, like, tag you, or
right,
so
right.
It's separate, I think.
But I have this interesting thing going on my Facebook. I have two, one for my bike talk and one for me personally. Mm-hmm. And the one for me personally, I have all these friends from a school I went to in sixth grade. And it just happened to be this, like, sort of cool group of kids. And I think we all kind of enjoy the idea that we still know each other.
That's like what I meant, is that you have that moment where you connected with these people and you don't want to lose them. So you put them away on Facebook. And that way you feel like you're still connected to them, but you don't really see them. But you still get that feeling, oh, I'm glad I met these people and they're good people. So I still feel like, yeah, it is a friend card, because you have that feeling when you see their posts or when you see pictures and you feel like you're still part of their life. But you're kind of not, because you're on Facebook. Because if you really were, you'd be there with them.
So who, I mean, maybe someday I'll, because they're in different parts of the country, you know, maybe someday I'll see one of them. But, you know, let's say there's a thing like happened in Egypt, you know, like where we start, something goes down, you know, and then they'll all know what it is from me and I'll know what it is from them, and maybe it'll actually turn out to be, you know, the crucial difference that's made. Because we knew it, we still kept in touch on Facebook. Maybe we'll all go out in the streets and start a revolution.
That's why I think Facebook is kind of, it's not too important, but I think that's why it's worth having, because you do get to have those friends, and then when you see them again, it's like, oh, it's not, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. It's kind of like you know what's been going on with them without having to personally reach out. But as much as they post, you know that much, you know? So you're kind of in, what was that? Oh, so it's like you're kind of there with them.
I guess so. I get into political arguments on Facebook.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, with libertarians. Like, I'll have people post stuff that's conservative, and then I'll make comments that I think are smart, and then I'll get all excited to see who responded to my comment, and if anybody liked it. Like, that's one thing that I do, is I'll post things, and then I'll be really interested in seeing how many people like it.
I have an interesting story about Facebook. I don't know if it kind of goes with that, but just recently met this girl in a dance class that I'm taking, and I've known her probably for 2 weeks now, or three, and I had my phone out, and she grabs my phone, and she looks herself up on Facebook, and she sends herself a friend request. And then she goes, my birthday's next week, so that way you can say happy birthday to me on my Facebook. And apparently people get really excited about getting liked and getting happy birthday messages and all that. So maybe you're not...
Well, I assumed it wasn't just me.
No. A lot of people... Where? Oh, wait, I'm getting all these people coming to me. Here's X.
Hi there.
X.
I just picked a little bit. So, it looks fun.
That was fun. That was really fun. And if you guys do this again, please include.
Thanks, Sandy. That was great. Yeah. I'll let you know when I put it up.
Okay, cool.
We'll let you know when we put it up on Facebook.
Oh, it'll be on Facebook.
Eventually, I wanted to see this cool new moped with the interesting front bar. Anyway, I guess we could bring this to a conclusion, Nick.
To a pause.
All right.
To a pause.
Thanks, X.
You're welcome.
Yeah, pause. Thanks. Pause. We'll come up with another topic for next week, or we can keep talking about Facebook.
Okay. I'm curious. We have an anonymous person here who does a lot of things digitally, and he doesn't have to in any way identify himself, but I am really curious because we've had a conversation where he says, yeah, Facebook, I'm kind of over it. Is that true? He doesn't like Facebook. Just to keep the bookmarks, it's up. End up. Anyway.
Huh?
He has three friends on Facebook and he's cutting down to zero.
Well, you know, I'm kind of jealous when I hear that somebody has 20 friends or three friends. Like, I can't stop. If I have, like, I have so many friends, I feel that, like, it would be letting them down.
You're an addict.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Vine.
Is that better?
I guess so. I don't want to keep them from partying. Topic.
Okay.
But, this looks like a bet. Anyway, so Nick, maybe we should pick this up soon.
Sure.
On Facebook. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. I'll see ya. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Cool. Yeah.
Bye. Okay.
See ya.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. Bye.